you know, when you look at all that was done, Jesus said this these wonderful words in John 10:10. He said, "I am come that what? That we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly." But it also says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." You know, when you look at the thief, and he spoke, what's interesting, let's just turn a moment to John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 10. And it's interesting. Because it paints this, it shares some revelation here. This is Jesus speaking in verse 1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So the mere fact that this is why Jesus had to be born in the earth in a body. Because if he had not entered into the earth and done what he did without a body, he would have been a thief and a robber. See, he didn't climb up some other way. He came into this earth. God came into this earth in the manifestation of Christ through Mary. And so he legally came into this earth and came to do what? Redeem us. But the devil doesn't have a body. He can only work through people. So his authority was stripped. So he technically has no legal authority here in this earth. He has illegitimate authority, but he has no legal authority in this earth. He's a thief and a robber. And he steals and he kills and he destroys. But the mere fact that you entered in, you were born in this earth, you have authority. You have authority over him. And then God anointed us. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So we have authority over him. And every circumstance, we have authority over. So Jesus came into this earth to do what? Identify. He became like us, and then he took our sins and did what? He identified with us. He identified with our weaknesses. He identified with all of the stuff that we face. But he was sinless. He had the blood of God flowing through his veins. He was without sin, but he was tempted with everything that we're tempted with. Everything. And so now, as a new creature in Christ, I've got that nature in me. I can now overcome those things. Because he defeated it. See. So let's just read here a New Living Translation. a few of these. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. It's a brand new life. I like this. There's a few translations, I guess. One is called the Laubach, L-A-U-B-A-C-H. It says, if a man is in Christ, he is created new. The man he was has passed away. And behold, a new man has been created. You're a new species of being that never existed before. You're brand new. And that new nature is in you. And do not let circumstances, see, if we not identify, but if you think about and meditate on the problem more than who you are in Christ, then sometimes those problems seem immovable. They seem bigger than what, you know, you just think there's no way. Oh, no. There is a way. It's called Jesus. It's his life, his nature. So let's just think about it. As what I think the scripture in 1 John, as he is, so are to we to be in where? In this world. So we're to be like him. We're to walk like him, think like him, talk like him. And now I have his ability residing in me. And if I don't let go, if I don't give in, if I don't get discouraged, I'm going to walk through it. I'm going to see the victory. I'm going to see it and experience it. Hallelujah. He just wants us to give in. Now, in verse 21, this is what the scripture is saying here. In chapter 5, Jesus continuing to speak. Or Paul, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Excuse me. But here, Jesus took on something that therefore says, for he hath, talking about God, he hath made him to be sin for who? For us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I like this. This is called the Black Welder translation. It says, in our behalf, God identified him. I like this word, identified. He identified him, Christ, with everything in the whole realm of sin. That means everything, the whole realm, the whole scope of sin. We'll share another translation to kind of add to this. In order that by trusting him, we might become the recipients of God's kind of righteousness. The New Living Translation, I like this, it said, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. But now if you're looking at a New Living Translation, it has a little footnote next to the word sin. It said, to be the offering for our sin. And the footnote for that word says, or become sin itself. So he became everything that sin was. He became sin. So there isn't anything that was or will become or dreamed up, the fruit of it, he became sin. He literally became sin. He identified with us. He paid for mankind's transgression. So there's nothing that we face that we shouldn't have the victory over. There isn't. So when we look at the scripture in Galatians 2:20, I like this translation. It's called the Distilled Translation. It says, I consider myself as having died. Just basically saying something similar to the King James. But it said, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. See? Jesus has a body. He has a glorified body, and he is God, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. We are his body, and he wants to use my body to reach people. Right? So we need to, as they say, yield. Say yield. I need to yield to him. Not be stubborn. So Paul, this identification that we have with him, we need to, what's interesting is the more scripture you look at, Jesus came here identifying with us in a body. I know that may sound, you know, we all know that, but look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Now we're going to read this from the Passion Translation. They'll put it up on the screen. You can follow along. We're going to look at the first four verses. And it says here, I like the way this expresses this. So it says, so now the case is closed. See, you know, when you're in the court of law and they say the case is closed. Well, there's no more discussion, is there? There's no more back and forth. It's not my opinion, your opinion. He said what? The case is closed. It's done. Right? There's no more opinion about it. There's no more discussion. It's over. It's done. And it goes on. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Say, that be me. I'm in life union with him. I'm joined with him. So that means, what does it say? There's no more accusing voice against you. God's not accusing you. The devil is. So it's real easy when you get an accusing voice, it's not God. When there's some voice or thought that says, you did this and you did that, and you did, you ought to laugh. You ought to just laugh. You know who it came from. There's no more accusing voice. No more. The case is closed. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has what? Has liberated us from the law of sin and death. Verse 3, for God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish. Why? Because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. This is why they had to offer up the blood of bulls and goats and remind people of their sin every year. But the scripture said Jesus entered in once into the holy place and got and obtained our eternal redemption once. So this goes on. Yet God sent us his son in what? Human form. See, he came in a body. He came in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. He took on humanity. So when people say, you just don't know, I have these problems, so did he. He was confronted with them and he defeated it. And now if you are born again, then you have his nature, his ability to deal with it and to overcome it. God's son gave his body, see, his body, to be a sin offering so that God could once and for all, say once and for all, condemn the what? The guilt, not just sin. He condemned the guilt and power of sin. So many people will feel guilty. He condemned the guilt and the power of sin. Verse 4. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the anointed one living his life in us. Wow. And we are free to live not according to our flesh, but how? By the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we're to live. We're to walk by faith and not our feelings and not our sight. So Jesus entered this earth legally because he was born here. And so God, he said, yet he was God. He was a man, but yet he was God manifested in the flesh. And he did what? I'm going to read this in a second. We can turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. He stripped himself of what? Of the divine power and became a man. He stripped himself of that. He removed all of those divine privileges and became a man. He identified with us. He became a what? A human being. Sinless. And he identified with what? All of our weaknesses and problems, but he was God and sinless. Now I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 11. It says, and I wanted to focus on this today. You know, the scripture in the King James, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we're familiar with that scripture. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But like the New Living Translation, it says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. What are we saying? This is this new revelation and truth that Paul received. We've got to have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Verse 6. though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Wow. He didn't think it was something to cling to, even though he was. He was God. Verse 7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave and was what? Born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name. They were talking about the name of Jesus. He gave him a name above what? All other names. And verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Where? In heaven and on earth and under the earth. In some translation, the King James says, and things in the earth and things under the earth. That word things really could be translated beings. All beings in the earth, under the earth, and so forth, and in heaven. And every tongue, verse 11, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So this, when we say this attitude or this mind, I like just looking at the dictionary and looking at the Greek word for this. It means it means to entertain. That means an attitude, to have an opinion. You know, if somebody has an opinion, they got an attitude about something. I don't mean that in a negative way, but if you have an attitude about something, then you have an opinion, don't you? So it says, let this attitude be in you that was in Christ. It also means to set your affection upon something. So Christ's, I'm going to just read this little bit that was in a commentary. It said, Christ's attitude was that Paul has just described, Christ's attitude was what Paul has just described, one of complete selflessness, servanthood, and sacrifice that puts the needs of others before himself. He said, let this mind, this attitude, this opinion be in you that was in Christ. He said, I came, what did Jesus say when he was on the earth? I came not, he said, to do my will, but he said, I came to serve. He came to this earth to serve. So he said, let this mind be in you. So yeah, I mean, we have responsibilities, but if I'm to have his mindset, his thinking, and I'm to let his mind be in me, then that means I've got to let the needs of people and the work of Christ be uppermost in my thinking, don't I? If I've got something going on and I need to do something, and God, I don't mean be negligent, but what I'm saying is if God prompts you to do something, you need to drop what you're doing and go do it. And you can't say, oh, I'm too busy. I can't. See, then that's not letting his mind be in you, as letting your mind be in you. So it goes on, this commentary. Now, Paul begins to describe specifically how Jesus showed this attitude toward us. Paul stresses how Jesus left unequaled glory in heaven. Unequaled glory in heaven. He left unequaled glory in heaven and took the humiliating position of a servant. In doing so, he obeyed God's plan to the point of giving his own life for the greatest benefit of others. And we're to have this mindset. We're to have this attitude, this opinion, that I'm going to seek people and put people first place, not my stuff and my things. Now, we don't normally think that way, do we? So that's a truth. We have to do what? We have to grow in that, don't we? Because that doesn't just come. We don't come out of the womb like that. You look at little kids, they're fighting, give me that, that's mine. Well, we see that with three-year-olds. That's mine. And they be fighting over a toy. So we know that we don't just think that way. And then with the world's way of thinking, it's get, mine. What did Jesus say when the man came to him, the rich young ruler? What did he say? Sell all you have and come follow me. And he went away sad because he didn't want to give up his stuff. You know, that's why, you know, I just thinking here, you know, when you have the heart of God, when I just think about, just, I'm going to use Pastor Enrique. You're a senior pastor over a church of about 600 or 700 people. You're working every day. You're participating in training the teachers and teaching in Rhema Bible Training Center with 6 schools spread throughout all of the area of Mexico. Hustling. Going. And God spoke to him and said, it's over. You need to come home. And he sold everything and took his family and came back here. How many of we would do that? How many of y'all would do that? That's a big deal. To me, it's a big deal. Not because he came here, but what he did. He heard his voice and he obeyed. That's the kind of, when you say, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that's the kind of mind right there. That when God says, sell it, move, you go, I got to pray about that. I got to think about that. He didn't think about it. He heard it and he said, I'm doing it. That's a big deal. In God's sight, that's a big deal. And the scripture says, if you be willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. So a lot of times it looks like I'm taking 100 steps backwards. I'm selling everything. It's like crazyville, right? But not in God's eyes. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. So I wanted to just support this when it said in verse 7 in the King James, it said, but he emptied himself of no reputation. This word emptied himself. This does not mean that Jesus gave up his deity. He didn't give up his deity, meaning his nature He was fully God. It means that he voluntarily laid aside the privilege of his limitless existence as God. He gave that up. His limitless existence as God. Now you might say, okay, let's look at just a few scriptures. And I didn't give this, but I'm going to ask you to look them up. This, he gave up. Let's quick look up John 17. John chapter 17. He gave up, it means he voluntarily laid aside the privilege of his limitless existence as God. John 17 and verse 4. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 5, and now, Father, what? Glorify thou me. He gave it up. He said, now glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee. Why would he say that I had with? He gave it up. He came to this earth for me. So when he asked me to do something, I should have the same mindset. Yes, sir. You gave up your unlimited glory to come here for me. There's no excuse. So he said, what did he say? With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So he gave up, he put aside his glory to come here. He still was God. He also gave up his position. Let's look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 30. He gave up his position. In verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He gave up his position. He also gave up his rights. You might say, well, what does that mean? Let's look at the scripture, Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Giving up his rights. It says here, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And he gave up his, let's go back to John chapter 5. And he gave up also the use of his attributes as God. John chapter 5 and verse 19. John chapter 5 and verse 19. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then also in chapter 14 of John, verse 10. John 14 and verse 10. It says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So he gave up, he set aside these divine privileges to become like us, to identify like us. He gave up these privileges, and he took on, as it said here, he emptied himself. It also meant taking on human suffering, misunderstanding, mistreatment, hatred, and in the end, the curse of the cross, the death of the cross. So he came and identified for the benefit, if you read in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us in verse 22 in the New Living Translation, he did all of this. He broke the power of sin. He broke the guilt of sin. He became like us. He identified with us. He did all this, what? For the benefit of the church. In verse 22, in the New Living Translation, says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for what? The benefit of the church. So now, what has he told us to do? And we have this anointing that abides within us. We've been called, anointed, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him does what? Abides in you. So we have his nature, his anointing, his presence abiding in us, and we've been commissioned. You know, talk about the United States. What do? Recently they had graduations. You see, you know, the Naval and Air Force, all of them, they're now what? They commission them. They said, you're working for us. You have the authority, our authority, to go, and we're going to give you some assignments, right? They're going to commission you. There was one instance where they didn't get the vaccine or something, and they said, no commission. So in their eyes, they disobeyed an order, and they said, okay, we're going to acknowledge that you went through, you did all of the things in the school, but you're not being commissioned. So here, we've accepted Christ. We followed his new rule, right, or new commandment, that we have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. He came in, he's now living inside me. And now because of that, his anointing is within me. I have his anointing, and now we are what? Commissioned. So there's no, it's like, what? I am? Yeah, you commissioned. You didn't know that? He's commissioned us. Mark 16, what does it say in the New Living? Go into all the world as our commission. Go into all the world and do what? Cruise. Well, that's nice. Nothing wrong with that. But while you're cruising, you're preaching. Right? You're being a witness. So go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who what? Refuses to believe will be condemned. These what? Miraculous signs will accompany who? Those that believe. Say, that's me. So signs will follow you. Miraculous signs will follow you that believe. They will cast out what? Demons in my name. Say, in my name. And they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed and recover. And then he said, when he was finished, he was taken up into heaven. So we're commissioned. We're in the army of God. Hallelujah. We have all various responsibilities in life. We interact with different people. We have different friends, different acquaintances. But we're commissioned to share the good news of the gospel. I refuse. I was sharing this with somebody recently. I refuse to let one family member go to hell. Because you all know somebody. You know, I'm thinking of, in a moment, Pastor Sam Smucker up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He was Amish. And his family was raised Amish. And every single one of his family members have come to Christ. Every single one of them. His parents finally came. All of his brothers and sisters came. And they're all, I think one might still be a Mennonite, but they've accepted Christ. All the other ones. I mean, even his parents started coming to his church. Got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. We are to preach the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah, and share that with people, especially today. Don't go around banging people over the head with something. Be a witness. Just look for, you know, when God gives us opportunities, look for opportunities, ask God for opportunities to share the gospel with someone. Amen. Where we are brand new, he lives in us, and this is the time, this is the greatest time for the church. Hallelujah. This is our time. Amen. Father God, we thank you today. Thank you that we're brand new. Thank you that we are new people in Christ. We've got you living in us. We are the body of Christ. And we thank you that we have your mind, your attitude living in us and working in us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you think about this, when that scripture in Philippians 2 verse 7 says, let this mind be in you. That means you got a choice to make, right? You have to decide that I'm going to let this attitude, this opinion be in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, just before we dismiss, I'm going to present an opportunity. If you never remember asking Jesus to come into your heart, you know, you're not doing this because mama said so or daddy said so. This has to be your own personal choice. It has to be your decision. You know, I remember growing up in church, you know, if we wiggled, we got a, what do you call it? A little noogie. You got a little squeeze, a little skin squeeze, right? Yeah, like. Like, sit tight, right? So when there's an opportunity, it's not a little pinch. You need to, you know, you know. No, it needs to be a personal choice on everybody's without coercion. Has to be from what? The heart. Because it's with the heart that we believe. And it's with the mouth that we make that public profession of faith. So it's always a personal choice. And God gives us that opportunity. So let's make this simple profession of faith, if you don't ever remember doing that, and believe, if you believe in your heart that God sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness or in a human form, a bodily form, and he identified with me. He took my sins, as Scripture says, we died on the cross. Well, it was my sins that he took. And then when sin was paid, the Scripture says we were raised from the dead together. And we were seated in heavenly places. We were. So if you believe that God sent Jesus, that he is the Savior of the world, and you believe that he raised him from the dead, and you confess that with your mouth, then you become saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. And I now ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, cleanse me with your blood, take up residence in my heart, empower me by your Spirit, and I thank you that I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that simple prayer and you meant it from your heart and you don't ever remember doing that, then let us know here. They'll give you some free information. And if you're watching online, then you can either mail us or call us, or you can email us, one or the other. And they've put that information up on the screen. Glory to God. And we're going to rejoice for those that maybe not here or even online, but churches where people are coming to know Christ by the thousands every day, every day. Hallelujah. Glory to God.